Well, howdy everyone. So I trust you're having a good day in Christ. That's what's true about you, is that you are in Christ. I was thinking about, I don't know if this is the word, I want to follow up on what we did yesterday, but I was reading this in my prayer time this morning in Philippians. It's an amazing statement. It says in verse 1 of Philippians 1, just to give you a sense of Paul's self-consciousness, what his self-consciousness was, or what his sense of identity in reality was. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints or holy ones in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Now, Paul made statements similar to that, like in Colossians and other places, you know, to all the saints in Christ, or to those in Christ at Colossae. And again, his sense of reality, his self-consciousness, is a Christ consciousness. That's his filter through which he sees himself and his world that he lives in, you know, his personal world and his reality, is that first and foremost, he's a person in Christ. As I've mentioned to you before, that's the gospel. If you read through the New Testament, you know, and you want to know what the gospel is, and Paul writes more about the gospel than any other writer, he writes more of the New Testament than any other writer, far more. And his description of being a Christian is, you're in Christ. Just a couple of times in the book of Acts, where there's the word Christian used, great word, good word, but Paul identified a believer as someone who's in Christ. That's what's new about them, what's true about them. That's what makes them a new creature, a new creation. And what he says here, he's addressing these Christians in Philippi, and says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Now, in being in Philippi, is their location physically, but their location in reality, spiritually, you know, emotionally, mentally, is that they're in Christ. They happen to be in Philippi. That's secondary reality. First reality is they're in Christ. They're holy ones in Christ. They're saints in Christ. You know, I'm here in Selma, but I'm in Christ here in Selma. Let's take it even further. I guess this is the word for today. We'll pick up the last part, that verse 15 of John 16. We'll pick that up tomorrow. Because evidently this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about today, is that if I'm driving down the road and I need to get somewhere, then all of a sudden there's some unexpected traffic issue going on. It wasn't planned. I didn't know it. And now I'm kind of stuck in traffic. Well, being stuck in traffic, if that's my first reality, then I'm living from the outside in. And it's impacting how I feel, how I think. You know, how I see reality. It's going to make me anxious or frustrated or whatever. I'm going to be complaining. But if my first reality is I'm in Christ in this traffic, you see, then I believe with all my heart that I've been placed into his life and his story so that he can live out his life and his story through my life and my life story. And he's the one who is now his story. And so I'm in Christ in traffic. And therefore, I'm responding from the inside out. I'm responding from how he sees this, how he thinks about it, how he feels about it. And he doesn't get complain, and he doesn't get frustrated, and he doesn't get anxious. I'm just living in the reality of the synergy. You know, things fit. They connect. There's a synergy. My times are in the hands of the Lord now. I'm not in control of my times. He is. Even if I plan things, we're doing that in union. We're doing that together. We create a schedule. Me and Jesus, we do that as one. We're creating a schedule. But there are times when he transcends that schedule and changes it. And I trust in the synergy that Christ knows exactly what he's doing. And my times are in his hands. It's not my story. And so I'm seeing that place from being in Christ. Now I'm in his life. He's now living his life in me and through me. I've been placed into the reality and the realm of his life. You with me? But here's the other thing about this that blows me away. Time this morning in prayer. To all the saints, again, holy ones, in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Now, Paul loved the Philippians. It's not that he didn't love others, but he was very intimate and very close to the Philippian Christians. And so writing this letter to them was very important to him. Because, as you know, he writes this letter under house arrest, chained to a Roman soldier. And the Philippians had sent an entourage to him, headed up by Epaphroditus, to see, to check on their spiritual father, to make sure he was okay. They couldn't text him. So it took a while, a month or more, for them to send this envoy to him to make sure he's okay. And so Paul's sending this letter back by Epaphroditus to let these people whom he loves, his spiritual children, he called them his crown in chapter 4. To see, he's letting them know that he's okay. Not only okay, he's in Christ, and therefore he's thriving. And so he's addressing this to them, and he's reminding them in his address, everything he's doing is intentional. The Holy Spirit's leading him. And so he's writing this letter, and he says to all the holy ones who are in Christ at Colossae. Now remember what the word holy means. The word holy is a word that means set apart or other. It has the idea of something that's distinct, that's not common, it's not normal, it's other, it's set apart. And so I wrote a little thing this morning I sent out. If you get those on Facebook or if you're on our Asinors and you get the little devotional words every day. As a matter of fact, if you don't and you'd like to, it doesn't cost a penny. We don't ask for a dime. We don't want your mailing address, none of that kind of stuff. But you can go into Asinors, Asinroars, one word, dot either net or dot org. I forget which one it is. And you can subscribe, and if there's a prophetic word, it'll come to you. Doesn't cost you anything. Or a devotional word, which we send out most days, it comes to you. And then there's also a list of all the times we've done conferences and that kind of thing. And all of that's for you. Like, if you want to give, that's great. We have a thing where you can, but we're not asking for that. That's not the deal. I'm not trying to get people to sign up so we can get money. Never have done that. And I can't live that way. So you don't have to give anything. If I could, I'd pay you to go and subscribe because I think it has value to minister to you. But I sent this little word out, and it says, we're not trying. Holiness is not your trying to be set apart for Christ. It's realizing that you have already been set apart in Christ, and therefore holiness is just manifesting what is already true about you, your set apartness, your otherness in Jesus. Jesus is other than our flesh, right? The life that he lives, the way that he thinks, the way that he feels, the way that he sees things, the way that he behaves is just other. Well, you've been grafted into that otherness. You're in Christ. You see, there's a place in Philippians where it says this. This is amazing. In chapter 1, he says in verse 11, having been filled, this is in the perfect tense, which means it's completed action in the past with continual present tense results. That's really a big deal. Having been filled, not just splashed with, but having not just a little dash of, but having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. See, the result of our fall is that we were both guilty and broken. But righteousness, we've been grafted into the very righteousness of Christ. The word righteousness, we've talked about this before. If you look it up, it just means rightness. But what it is, it's the rightness of Jesus. It's the innocence. We've been grafted into the innocence and the wholeness of Jesus to the glory of God. See, this is what God did. It gives to the glory of God. That's amazing. To the glory of God. He did this to the glory and praise of God. That in your brokenness and your fallenness and your guilt and your brokenness, his solution was to place you into Christ so that now you're in union with his innocence and his wholeness. And the Christian life It says in chapter 16, which close to where we've been yesterday, says the Holy Spirit's role is convicting you of righteousness, convincing you of your innocence in Christ and your wholeness in Christ, day by day, step by step. That's Him leading us, guiding us into all the truth that Jesus is in us, that Jesus is to us. And Paul says this otherness, this set-apartness to all the saints, holy ones, the set-apart ones in Christ or in Philippi. Now, this is all that is to say this. I think Paul, when he wrote this to the church collectively, because he said to all the holy ones or set-apart ones in Christ who are in Philippi, is that he assumes that as a Christians, as those who are now other, because they've been grafted into the otherness of Jesus, they've been set apart, they're different, because they've been grafted into his distinctiveness, his uncommonness, his holiness, his otherness. They've been grafted into his righteousness, his innocence, and his wholeness. He's assuming that those people, all of them, would have an impact on Philippi. I think that's one of the reasons he wrote it this way. To all you other ones, all you who are grafted into the otherness of Jesus, all you Christians, all you who are in union with to experience and manifest the reality of Jesus, all of you who are in Philippi, man, your otherness, your set apartness should have an impact that would transform Philippi. Man, we're plants. Where God plants us, whether it's in your home, in your neighborhood, where you work, in the city that you live in personally and corporately, whatever church you're part of, this is why we have to understand the gospel, who we are in Christ, because we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And where we are, darkness should not be able to handle it. Darkness can't overcome light. But you know what? Because our light's been put under a cover, because we don't understand who we are in Christ. We don't understand what it means to be other in Jesus and manifesting that otherness that transforms and impacts those around us. When you walk in the Walmart, if you're walking in the otherness of Jesus, you're living under the open heaven he lives under the with the favor that he has of the Father, and you just carry this thing in you, and you're just manifesting an otherness, a set-apartness, a new creation, a newness of life thing. And it carries impact. It opens doors. It's amazing. And I think this is what Paul, one of the things he's saying here, to all the ones who are set apart, not only just set apart for Jesus, they're just set apart, they're distinct, they're different. You're not like everybody else. We are a peculiar people. You're set apart because you're in Jesus. All you who are now in Jesus and through whom now Jesus is living out his story, and this is to all you collectively who are in Philippi. Whoa. Philippi didn't have a chance. Selma shouldn't have a chance. Wherever you live, they shouldn't have a chance. If the church would understand the gospel about what it means to be in Christ and begin to manifest that, he's planted us here to overcome and to impact, to change the world. We don't change the world by trying to change the world. We change the world by letting Jesus do what he's always done. We're just now the body through which he does it. That's so cool. That's so wonderful. All righty. Well, that'll be it. We didn't do John 16, but we did a little bit from it. And we'll be back in there tomorrow. We'll finish up verse 15. But I pray this encouraging to you. I believe that we're in a season. The Lord showed me this yesterday. We're in this molting season. You know, molting is like when an eagle will get new feathers. And so every year, an eagle will lose their feathers and then get new feathers so they can keep soaring. And as they grow, those feathers are bigger, and so they soar to greater heights. I believe, I feel that in my own personal life. I believe that's true, that the body of Christ, this is now molting time. We're shedding old feathers. We're now being given new feathers so we can fly and soar higher than ever before. I really, really, really believe that. I believe that we're in an amazing time right now for the body of Christ to get it, to come to an understanding of who they are in Christ. Paul said that he was a man in Christ. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. We're a people in Christ. And as we get this thing, the bigness of this, the largeness of this life in Christ, I believe we're coming into a season where we're molting, and there's this transformation taking place. This is going to be one of the most transformative seasons in church history in terms of the life of the person, believers, and who we are corporately. Okay, that's just sort of a prophetic word we throw in there at the end. Well, God bless you. Have a great rest of the day. If you do church on Wednesday nights, we do church on Wednesday nights. I pray that you have a great time just fellowshipping together and worshiping together and being fed his life through the word or whatever, however you guys do Wednesday nights. But I pray that you'll experience personally the rest of the day the amazing, stunning reality that you are in union with Jesus. And if you were to let him live his life through you just this day in your circumstances, how other would that be? Well, that's what you're not just called to. That's what you've been placed into. That you can experience the otherness of Jesus in your marriage, as a father, as a mother, as a son, as a daughter, as a neighbor, as an employee, employer, you know, as a person. And I pray that you experience that the rest of this day. Because once caught, no escape. Amen. God bless.